You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned in to New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message,
praise God, is Pastor anyhow. Ralph. As you see in your bulletin, we are back in our study in this book of 1 Peter. We weren't in it last week as Deacon Frank brought the word. But by way of review, we'll be in chapter 3. And we'll begin our reading at verse 13. Some verses that we had seen before, and we're going to see them again as a reminder, not just for you, but for me as well. And it'll lead us into where God's going to take us in this great book. Chapter 3. Beginning our reading at verse 13. If you're there, please say amen. And here Peter is saying to all of us, saying to those that were going through during this time, and by the way, they were going through great persecution, big time, more so than what we've gone through, but we are going through some and will go through more as time goes on. And he says in verse 13, and who is he that will harm you? If, he says, ye be followers of him, of that which is good. And one of the points we made when we were last in this book is that there's only one thing that's good, or one person, or one God that's good, and that's the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they have left us 66 books in order to instruct us in his goodness and in his righteousness. So as believers, we're following the Godhead. He goes on, verse 14, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled. And look, we went last time, and we went and looked in the book of Matthew's in regard to the apostles when they were being used and abused and battered, and even in prison. And look, they wanted them to denounce Jesus Christ, and they said, look, it doesn't make much sense to us. Who are we to follow? Are we to obey God, or are we to listen to you, regardless of what you do? And look, guys, coming to a country near you, it's going to come a time when we don't have to put our Christianity into practice and let folk know that I'm not backing off of where I'm at in him, because he'll never back off of where he is in me. And the proof is going to be in the pudding in regard to believers, that we can't back off of that which he has given us and bless us, because we're full followers of him and indeed endeavor to do what he's called us to do. And the verse says, happy are ye. And look, it's not so much talking about happy. Oh, they beat us, I'm happy. And even though the disciples did that, they were in God's joy, that they were counted worthy to be punished, not for their wrongdoing, but to be punished for Christ's sake. He says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And by the way, in all situations, whatever comes down the pike, know that God is able, know that God's in charge. He says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that is that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And of course, for the believer, man, there's only one hope. And our hope is in the finished works of Christ and the promises that he has made to we who are his children. And yes, there are times on this earth when we're going to go through some things. There are some times when physically we're not going to be right. There's going to even be some times when we will leave here and die physically. But for the believer, our hope is in Christ. And we know that even if we got to leave here, and one day we will be home with him in glory. And look, we'll practice war no more. We'll not have to concern ourselves with the affairs of this world. But for now, we pray for the believer. We pray for God's church. We pray that God will do and use us in a way that's pleasing in his sight, and we will have the joy of the Lord regardless of the circumstance. And listen, many times Peter and Paul and the other apostles, they were writing and they were incarcerated in prison, but they were still joyful because they knew which side of salvation they stood. He says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for the reason of the hope that is in you. And he says, with meekness and fear. In other words, guys, I didn't save myself. You didn't save yourself. So I get low because I know that the God who sits high is the one that saved me. And he said with fear, and he's talking about with reverence, that there's only one that can save me, one that can hope me and help me. And by the way, only one who I have hope in, and that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, regardless of what it looks like politically, regardless of what it looks like from the sin perspective, he's still in control. When he allowed that flood to take this whole earth and kill everybody on this earth, he still left a remnant with one family, and he was still in control, and he's in control even right now, regardless of how it looks with our eyes. And he's our hope. He goes on in verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, and of course he's talking about the world, and more they're going to speak evil of you, and sometimes in your face, sometimes behind your back. He says that they speak evil of you. It says as they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And what he is saying is that because we have this hope in Christ, that the Lord might touch one of their hearts and show them that they were dead wrong. And listen, we still need, when they come to us and they ask about how come we still aren't freaking out, how come we're still holding on and holding on, how come we know that everything's going to be okay, we can tell and share with them about the hope of Jesus Christ, and that in him, hallelujah, all things was going to be okay. And he does that. And we need to be prepared when he does that. He says in verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you is your good conversation in Christ. And he goes on and will end in verse 17. He says, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And listen, what Peter is saying is that, look, if we do wrong, we ought to suffer. We ought to be punished. But man, for well-doing, for doing what God has called us to do, for obeying him over man, and we go through some things, man, like the apostles, we are blessed in our hearts that we actually did no wrong. We simply preached and teach and told folk about Jesus, and they wanted to persecute me. He's saying, you're in good company. Hallelujah. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I continue in this sermon series. Salvation is of the Lord. And Father, as we dive deeper into this great book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll hide me behind your cross. And Father God, allow me to get low. Allow me to humble myself, Lord, so that you can be presented even that much more. Lord, minister to us in a mighty and a special way, Father. In this sermon that you have had me to prepare for this congregation, Lord, you know what they need. You know what I need. And I pray that by your Spirit, you will place it in our hearts, or place these truths in our hearts in a place that will do the most good. For some understanding, Father God, for some for godly wisdom. For some it might be for answered prayer. For some, Lord, whatever they had a question of or a prayer a request or even trying to figure out something, we pray that these seeds will bless their hearts as well, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen and amen. Verse 17, we're going to reread that as we go forward. And Peter says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for doing that, for well doing than for evil doing. And he goes on and enlightens us even more about our Savior. In verse 18, he says, for Christ also have once suffered for sins. It says, the just for the unjust. And by the way, don't take a scholar to figure out who's who. We were the unjust, and indeed he is the just. He did no wrong, that he might bring us to God, he says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And listen, we see this word quickened most times in the New Testament. It's talking about to be made alive, because we surely were dead men and dead women walking in this world. And he grabbed a hold of us and blessed us with some spiritual understanding or information about his son Christ. His Holy Spirit helped us to grasp that truth. And he quickened our spirits and he made us one of his children. He says in verse 19, by which also, and he's talking about Christ here, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And we talked about that last time we were in this book as well, that between his death and his resurrection, that he went down and preached to some spirits, some fallen angels that had went past the sinfulness even God allowed, and he jailed them in prison and held them. And look, I had no idea what he preached, but only thing I know is that when he died, he said it is finished, and that would be a good word for them as well. And in verse 20, he says, which sometimes were disobedient, when the once long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing. And the verse says, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. And guys, by the way, it was not a localized flood. It was a worldwide flood. And however many people were in the world, there were only eight that saved or got saved. And look, he could have destroyed them all and not no remnant, but he did leave a remnant. And because of that, we are here today to proclaim his name. He says in verse 21, the like figure. And by the way, some translations will say the anti-type. And what he's talking about is that when Noah was raised by that ark, that ark was his saving grace, that it took him from death unto life. And by the way, that water was the death element that killed all the world, but it was also the element that God used to float that ark up above safety. And the like type or the like figure, Noah, in that ark was a type of Jesus Christ. And he goes on, verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And he explains, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, he makes it plain, not water baptism. Guys, by the way, we get baptized as we're acknowledging what has already happened in our hearts. If you're not saved, the only thing that water is going to do is get you wet. But once you come to faith in Christ, once he has blessed your heart with salvation, then we want to do like our Savior did, and we too want to be baptized. And he makes it plain here. He says in verse 22, who is gone into heaven, talking about Jesus, and is on the right hand of God. The verse says, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And what we know is that all power, after Christ finished his work on earth, all power was given unto him. In fact, Matthew 28 and 18 said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And by the way, God is the one that gave him all power, because he came to this earth, to the Virgin Mary. He lived on this earth. He did his earthly ministry. They killed him. He said, it is finished. They buried him, and God raised him up, and he finished his course here on earth. And because of that, God said, all power is given unto my son, and there's none higher. There are some that try to proclaim to be higher, but all power has been put in his hands. And I love the fact, man, that Christ can do anything he wants. He can even take the laws that we see here on earth, the earthly laws, and he can suspend them. He can do with them. He was supposed to have been dead, but now he is alive evermore. And it says he's sitting at the right hand of God. God, every day we hear about the miracles of God, and someone's sick to unto death, and doctors don't know what to do. And listen, because they're believers, that there are times when God will touch and bless and keep them on this side. Again, doctors can't understand it, but God understands it, because God, Jesus, can do anything he wants to do. My wife and I were in a car accident some time ago before we moved to Florida. And as we look back on that car, there's no way anybody should have been able to walk away from that accident. But we walked away with suitcases in our hands and did not even have a scratch. Only the Lord. Only He can do that. And by the way, as we got away from where the car was and looked up in the woods where the car was and no trees were torn down, it's a miracle that it got up there, and surely a miracle that we walked away. Confirmation on our hearts of some things in regard to what we are praying for. But for sure, I know He'll take care of me. And look, if for whatever reason, when my time comes to leave here, it's because it's time that He wants me to go home with Him. But until then, I got hope. And my hope is in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the world says. My Lord says, I've got you. And by the way, if you know Him, He's got you as well. Amen. He says in verse 22, who is gone? In fact, I'm going to read 21 and then 22. The like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God. The verse says, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. And again, He has all power. Chapter 4, verse 1. Say amen if you're with me. Amen. He says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, and indeed He has suffered for us in the flesh, He says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And so He's talking about the mind of Christ, guys, that our thought process ought to now be a spiritual process. He says, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, guys, and look, you might not believe it, but it is true that sin no longer has authority over you. Our Lord has all power. And I don't have to bow back to the things I used to do. That don't mean it's not going to call me. We still have a sin nature, and we struggle with that from time to time. In fact, our sin nature wants to be in charge. It wants to take you back to where you left. If something goes on, your sin nature want to tell you, well, you deserve, go get drunk because you just went through that, or somebody gets mad at you. Your sin nature says you need to never forgive them. They did you wrong, and look, you don't need to talk to them no more. That's what the sin nature said, but the Christ in us, the Spirit of God said, hallelujah, if somebody does you wrong, you forgive them. And if your past calls on you, you don't have to listen. In fact, when your past calls and says you need to start doing this again, you need to tell your past no. By the authority of the one who has all power, I don't need to go there no more. And I'm not. And we stand on the promises that are given to us by God. He says in verse 2 that he no longer should live, it says, the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And listen, he's saying that we come out from the old and now we live and walk in the new. And I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what it looks like. God says you're already victorious because you know me. He says in verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us, it says, who have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And he's saying that, look, past tense, it used to be, he's talking about in our unsaveness and unsaved folk. It says, when we walked, and take note, this word walk, it says ED at the end. So he's talking about past tense. We used to walk there. We don't walk there anymore. He says, in lasciviousness, and that's talking about sinful sexual desire. He says, lust, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. And look, he's talking about idolatries, that ridiculous idolatries of people, places, and sometimes things, guys, that there are times we will idolize things, and sometimes we'll say, well, no, I'm not idolizing them. I just like them. No, anything that we place ahead of the Lord, we're making that an idol. There was a time, and most of y'all know I love to fool around with cars. I do. And I used to be in a couple of car clubs. But the problem is, they would go to the races on Sunday. And all the races and shows would be on Sunday. So we would end up always, you couldn't go to church, you got to go to that church. And for a while, as a young Christian, I was doing that, man, and I was bowing to the feet of Jesus in regard to those cars. And I'll never forget, we were having a meeting one time at a car show on Sunday, and they had a round table thing, and they were having everybody go around and explaining or expressing their love for these cars. And it got to me, and I said, well, I love these cars so much. I love them. I practice them like a religion, I said. And as it came out of my mouth, it went right back into my ear. And the Lord said, oh, really? Is that how it is? And I realized that I was literally worshiping them things. I was. And God, sometimes we'll do that. Well, we might have kids or grandkids or even animals or cars or whatever it is. And we say we're not worshiping them. But many times we can't do what God wants us to do because we're too busy taking care of our idols. And we do that. And God says we shouldn't do that. And in fact, anything we place before him, it becomes an idol. And he's telling us, Peter is telling us even here, that we need to be mindful of it, and we need to be careful. Again, verse 3, he says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. He goes on, verse 4, wherein he said, they think, and by the way, he's talking about those that we used to know prior to salvation, we used to fellowship and hang with prior to salvation. He says, where they think, it says, strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. He says, speaking evil of you. And look, there's been a lot of folk, I don't talk to a whole lot of my ex-friend, my unsaved friends from back in the day, but from time to time they will connect with me, and even in my early Christian walk, they would say, oh, you're too good for us anymore. You can't hang with us anymore. And they would say, well, come on, just go to the club. Don't drink. Just sit there with us. Now, first of all, I'm an alcoholic, and you want me to go to a club, and everybody's drinking, and I'm just going, what, sit there and drink ginger ale? That ain't going to fly. And it would run me right back to where I've been delivered from. And they say, well, you too good for us. And well, you can sit upstairs and you can talk to your Lord up there. Now, what am I going to do going to a party and act like I'm worshiping my Lord? And yes, they will talk about you. And yes, they won't understand you. And yes, we are to witness to them. That's a good thing. But guess what? We're not to fellowship with them and their sin anymore. I had some good partners, man. Some guys I really cared about. But man, because they were going one way and I'm going the way God will have me to go, there's no way I could continue to intimately fellowship with them. Because ultimately, as I might think I'm pulling them up, ultimately they're going to pull me down. I listen to some folk who are getting married sometimes, and my first question is always, are they saved? Do they know the Lord? And if the answer is no, then you need to leave them alone. If indeed you know the Lord is Savior, you'll be unequally yoked, and it's not going to work. But yet and still, there are some that say, well, they're so nice, he's so nice, she's so nice. I believe I can win them for the Lord. Well, win them for the Lord, then marry them. No, I think it's going to be okay. Many of them will marry an unsaved person, and man, that thing is going to be a shipwreck each and every time. Amen? And look, I'm preaching to myself in that regard as well, because I actually tried to go into business with folk who I knew weren't saved, and they said they were saved. I just wanted to hear it, and it turned out again to be a shipwreck. How can two walk together, man, in fellowship unless they agree? It can't work. And listen, there are folk I have who are acquaintances that are unsaved. And listen, I'm always or constantly trying to minister to them. And as long as they'll hear what God has to say, I can do that. But the moment they begin to cuss and say, I don't want to hear your Jesus, then I tell them, then you don't want to hear me. I can't be with you. And it's just that simple. And it works out just fine. And what I find is that many will come back later on and they will ask about the hope that I have. And then I can tell them about the God-man Christ Jesus. But man, I don't have a whole lot of, I don't know how much time I got left in life. But what I do know is that I don't have a whole lot of time for foolishness. I really don't. Not anymore. And folk are saying sometimes, well, I'm going out, we're going to have fun. Well, what's fun? Cavorting and drinking and getting drunk, is that fun? And I got to tell you something, guys, when I was doing that, and I did that for a long time, it may have seemed fun at the time. But man, in the morning with a hangover, and I'm saying stuff that I did the night before was starting to come back to me. Oh, no, I didn't do that. Oh, no, I didn't do that. And I saw one time a videotape of me, and I was fairly drunk. And at the time, when I was doing it, it seemed like I was cool. It seemed like I was intelligent. It seemed like I had it all together. And when I saw the tape, it was, hey, I sound like a fool. And no, I wasn't cool. And no, I wasn't right. And look, I don't need to go back there. And God says, don't go back there. And listen, Peter's reminding us that those that are mocking you because of your stance in Jesus Christ, let them mock on. Because one day, they're going to woo the day that they mocked your stance in Christ. Amen. He says in verse 4, wherein they think strange or think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. It says, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? And listen, he's talking about the Lord, that one day they're going to have to stand before him. And even though they thought you was foolish, thought you weren't right, they're going to realize that you were on the right side of this thing. And I love verse 5, it's saying, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge? And guys, by the way, God does not judge his people. We're guilty, yes, but Christ paid for that. So he's talking about unbelievers here who are ready to judge the quick and the dead. And he's talking about quick in this instance. He's talking about those sinners, unsaved sinners that are alive and those that have went on and died. And believe me, they have not gone to glory. They're going to hell. And they will woo the day that they ever mocked you or did not receive Christ as Savior. Understand this. Hell is real, and I warn everybody I possibly can that it is real. And look, you don't want to go there. It's not going to be no party there, and you don't want no parts of that. And if the Lord is tugging at your heart on this day, and you know you're not right, ask him to come in.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.